What's going on, everyone? Welcome to First in Sim. I'm your host, Lucid Dreams, and on today's episode, I give you a long overdue interview with Haseo from before S30 began. I hope you enjoy. All right, I'm being joined here today by Haseo. How's it going?
It's going. How are you?
Not too bad. So, just to get us going here, how did you discover Simulation Leagues?
So, back when quarantine started last year, I was, I was playing in a fake baseball league called Major League Reddit Ball. Some people may be familiar with it. But as the season was going along there, we saw there was an advertisement for the PBE, the Pro Baseball Experience. I thought it looked interesting, signed up, and I've been there ever since. And I found the ISFL a couple seasons after I started in PBE and made my first player here.
So I know this is your second time around. Is there anything you're hoping to do differently with this player?
Actually finish off the career would be a good start. the reason I didn't technically finish the career the first time around was I became a co-GM in the PBE, so I wanted to focus on that more. And the ISFL was just kind of a fun league for me, so I just kind of fell to the wayside, and I just, you know, I did an activity check every now and then, but it just, I realized that I wasn't going to be of use to anybody. So I retired once my DSFL eligibility ran out.
So are you still GMing in the PBE?
No. No, I actually stopped GMing in the PBE a couple seasons ago.
Okay. So just what brought you back to the ISFL this time?
So, I'm a big football fan at heart, and while I enjoy the game of baseball, football was actually my first love. And with the ISFL being the only football sim league that I'm familiar with, I figured, you know, let me try to actually finish a career here, because I enjoyed my time when I was active the first go around. So I figured, you know, let's put in more of an effort to make it to the big leagues and actually contribute to a team.
So what made you pick tight end for your player?
I actually played tight end back when I was in middle and high school. I wasn't quick enough to be a receiver, but I was a bit stronger than most guys on the team other than the linemen. So coach said, we're going to stick you at tight end, but you're faster than the safety we have now. So we're also going to play you at safety whenever we need you on defense. So both players actually reflected me in a way, because I did play some safety as well. So that's why I chose safety the first time around too.
So was that something you were pretty set at playing when you created this time?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty set. I wanted to play tight end, but if there was an absolute need somewhere else and there was no way that the team was going to be able to get a player that they wanted at that position, such as running back, fullback, receiver, whatever, I would have switched. But I really wanted to be a tight end, and thankfully, Orange County had need of a tight end since the previous one, Heath Evans, shout out to Thor, he was starting to regress, and actually, Thor retiring Heath Evans came out of nowhere to me. I thought I was gonna be in the DSFL for another season, and maybe a backup to Evans for a couple of seasons in Orange County whenever they actually called me up.
So this was your last season in the DSFL then?
Yeah, I was officially given the word actually pretty much as soon as Heath Evans was retired, actually. So I've known for about, oh, half of season 29.
Okay, so it wasn't really a surprise for you.
It wasn't, and I let the Seawolves GMs know basically almost immediately as soon as the retirement was official from Heath Evans. So we knew going into the rest of the season that I wasn't going to be on the team.
So what was your time like in Norfolk?
It was equal parts fun and equal parts frustrating. I'm a competitor at heart. I like to win. And Norfolk, it's a really young team. Like, we didn't have very many actives, and we didn't have a lot of inactives that were high TPE or closer to cap, like a couple of other teams have. So we were on the low end of everything position wise, except for quarterback. And over the course of my 2 seasons there, we won a grand total of 3 games, or either 3 or 4. I'm not looking at the standings right now, so I'm not sure. But it was a little frustrating simply because, I like to win. But at the same time, everybody was fantastic, and the locker room was a really great and fun environment. And I never had so much fun losing, in all honesty.
So I know towards the end of the season, it was announced that Neggs was going to be taking over as one of the new co-GMs there. How has his presence been in the locker room so far?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I see Negs talking with everybody every day. And it's refreshing, simply because I know what it's like to have an inactive GM. Not that anybody in the ISFL has been active whenever I've been here, but I know what it's like to management that's, not really communicating at all. And that lowers locker room activity more than anything, because I'm pretty sure some people think, oh, well, if the GM is not really talking here, there's really nothing going on.
Yeah,
So.
that's. I'm sure you're probably right about that. I know I had some experience with some less than active, I guess, public areas during my scouting process when I was being scouted. So I can definitely say that kills locker room activity.
Oh yeah. Speaking of scouting, I actually it the scouting process. I don't know if are we gonna be covering the draft experience later or
Oh,
no?
go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I didn't know if you had any plans to cover the draft experience at all, but scouting made me think about it a little bit more. But the first time around, I didn't have alerts set up to go to my email. From I think it was still JSync at the time, whenever I came around the first time. But I didn't get any emails for PMs or anything, and for some reason JSync didn't tell me I had a PM. So I missed, I think, 5 or 6 teams scouting me the first time around. And obviously they didn't draft me. So I just For some reason, whenever you talk about the scouting experience, that popped up, and I'm sure the teams that sent me some scouting the first time around, they thought I was inactive or something to begin with.
So, how was the scouting process for you this time around?
Honestly, it was fun. I don't know, because the tight end class was so deep for my draft class. I don't think as many teams reached out that normally would. I mean, because there are tight ends that earn more than I do, so I wasn't approached by too many teams. But the one that stuck out the most was Orange County. I had a great conversation with Maury and Blasoon, and I also was sweet talked a little bit by a couple of guys in the PBE who were like, we were trying to get you to Orange County, you know, like we want you here. And thankfully everything fell into place because I'm having a lot of fun in Orange County already, and I'm barely on the team technically. So I'm looking forward to the season.
So as you mentioned, you were drafted by Orange County. What were your thoughts on draft night when the Otters selected you?
I thought I was going to be drafted much later than where they picked me. Halfway through the second is actually the highest I've ever been taken in any sim league draft, minors or otherwise. I'm apparently I'm normally like a third or fourth round talent, apparently, because that's where I've been drafted before. But mid second was a great surprise. Just because I know that there are better TPE options on the board at that point. So it was a really nice surprise. And it made my night, actually. I was on my way to work when the draft was going on, and I had it playing in my car through my phone. And to hear Orange County pick me at the highest I've ever been picked before in a sim league on my way to work really lifted my spirits, and I had and it was a that was actually a really good night at work. So
So is it safe to say that Orange County was the team that you were hoping to get selected to on the draft?
like I said, I thought I would go much later, but I was hoping for Orange County, simply because Eldorian, he's a good friend of mine. He's better known as probably as Goat Tank to everybody else. But I really wanted to play with him, but because he's a GM of a different team in the PBE, that's not happening for me over there. So it's nice to get a chance to be on a team with someone that I have a really good relationship with.
That's awesome. Yeah, you got two of my favorite users over there as well with Shrub and Greg. So
Oh, they're both great too. Shrub, Shrub gets on my nerves sometimes whenever we play Risk, simply because he won't leave me alone and ends up taking all my spots. But he's great. Greg actually really helps with tasks and the point tasks. Because sometimes, things are hectic during the week, and oh, I forgot to do something come Saturday. Ping, and there's Greg telling me, "Hey, there's this thing. Oh, I need to do this." So I go and do it and get it out of the way.
That's
But
awesome.
they're both great to talk to. Although I'm actually on a team with Beaver as well. I know he's one of our linemen in Orange County, but I play on the Indianapolis Apex with him in PBE. And my God, this guy loves his drama. He doesn't cause it, but whenever something's going on, I hear about it. Simply because he finds it, I don't know how to put this, he finds it hilarious that some drama can come up over the smallest things. And if a thread really starts derailing, then I find out about it in some way, shape, or form. So, and it could be over the most mundane things I've noticed, there's this taboo word over in the PBE. We call it the C word. You can't call somebody a coward, apparently. Someone really got upset about that, and Beaver thought it was hilarious. So, of course, we find out about it. Like th this, it's in a f it was in a form that's not even on my radar typically ever, because we with my league job, I have nothing to do with it. I have nothing ever goes on there for me as a player, so I don't even know what's going on half the time. But someone got really upset about being called a coward, and the thread derailed. Here comes Beaver. Ping. Hey guys, check this out. With a link to it, and it was a good read. But
That's funny.
but just some of the shenanigans that Beaver's up to all the time.
So it sounds like Orange County's a place that you're going to fit in really well.
I hope so. I really do. I'm not as talkative as I normally am, simply because with a 3-year-old daughter, it's kind of, I try to focus on her as much as possible, but she's actually been on vacation the past couple of weeks with her mother. So I've been more active in the locker rooms than I normally am. So it's been fun getting to be able to talk to everybody more. But my presence might, drop just a tad because they're both coming home tomorrow. So I'm going to spend some time with them, obviously, since I haven't seen them in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's definitely understandable. I don't think anybody will fault you for that.
It's actually part of the reason why I stepped down as a GM in the PBE a couple seasons ago. Just wanted to spend more time with my daughter because she noticed that I was spending more time on my phone, on Discord, talking to everybody else, making sure the team was good and making plans for our moves and stuff. And she says, "Hey, Dad, spend more time with me." And I didn't even realize it was that bad until she had said something. So I just said, "You know what? You're right." I stepped down from there, just became a regular player again, and it's honestly my stress level has gone down since I did that too. So it's actually worked out for me health wise too.
Yeah, I can. I don't know. I can see that. Even like I just recently stepped in as the co-GM for the Royals, but. Prior to that, just even being involved in the war room, it seemed like I was just constantly checking in on what's going on or what we're trying to do, trying to be involved in something that's happening. So you definitely should get super involved in it.
Oh yeah. No, I was a minor league GM too before I got I was a majors co-GM in the PBE. And like I wouldn't mind doing the minors or DSFL GM thing again. But one thing that irritates me about it is the turnover. Like, yeah, you meet a bunch of new people and everything else, which that's great. And you're the first interaction new users have with the league, basically. But at the same time, you have to really look into building a great team unless your team is full of recreates. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because you don't know if that guy you pick in the first round of say the DSFL draft, you don't know if they're going to be active in 2 weeks even. You know what I mean? Like life happens, people step away, that's just the reality of sim leagues, you know? No matter if you've been here for a week or you've been here for 2 years, at some point you're going to step away.
I mean, you can see that with our class, because I believe you're in the same class that I am. You can see that with Suggs, who was a high draft pick in our class in both drafts and won the DSFL Most Dedicated Member last season and has since gone inactive.
I can't remember who he went to. Did he go to Orange County?
I don't remember what his ISFL team was. I know he was in Portland for DSFL.
Yeah, so that sounds really familiar. I think Orange County might have picked him in the first.
Yeah, I'm not sure which team he
ended up with. I'm not sure either, but the name is really familiar, and I haven't heard anything from him for a while, but yeah, that's just the reality of it is, and sometimes there's no notice. You don't know that someone has gone away or anything other than the fact that, you know, they haven't been on the forums in a month or not even done an activity check for a season, things like that.
So what would you say your expectations are for your player next season?
Well, my expectations for myself really, and by extension to the players for my sim leagues is sky high. Like, I would be nice to it'd be fantastic to get Rookie of the Year, but at the same time, I'm sure that there are quarterbacks that are coming up for the first and for their rookie season in the ISFL. There are running backs that are just going to dominate in their first season. Tight end, especially with the upgrade to the new sim engine, I've noticed does not put up wide receiver like numbers, which is fine. Like, that's it's not nor I don't think it's the norm for a tight end to have, say, a 1,500 yard receiving season. But it would be nice if it was more than, say, 500 or 600 yards here and that every season. But that's the way the new engine works, I'm pretty sure. But tight end of the year, I would say, would definitely be on my list of goals every single season, not just my rookie season.
Yeah, it seems like to get that kind of production, you have to game plan around your tight end being, your main target or one of your main targets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with the team we have, that's just not happening. At best, I'm probably the fourth or even fifth option for the offense. So I feel like if I can get a couple catches a game, I better take them for, 30, 40 yards if I want to have a chance at tight end of the year. But I don't know. But it's not out of the realm of possibility, I believe, to win tight end of the year. But I also know it's gonna take some incredible luck for me to win that in my rookie season.
Well, luckily for you, you're on a very balanced attacking offense, and a team with Ramza throwing the ball like he does gives you guys a pretty good chance to make that happen, so.
For now, unfortunately, he's progressing.
So we'll see. We'll see what this season holds for you. But I mean, in the past, at least these past 2 seasons, it seems like it's had a pretty decent offensive attack. So that'll give you a chance to show off some skills.
Hopefully. It did help that whenever they had Heath Evans, he was. I'm pretty sure he had more TPE than a couple of the receivers. So he was actually probably the second, sometimes even primary target in some formations. So he had a great run in Orange County. Pretty sure he was nominated at least for tight end of the year for a majority of his career, and only won it once, which is honestly, that's criminal that he's nominated that many times and only wins it once, but that's just my opinion.
So now, are you paying attention to the stats that he put up and using that as kind of like a guide for where you want to be, or are you just trying to do your own thing and whatever you make happen happens?
Well, I would like to be able to do my own thing and just let whatever happen. But at the same time, I'm not that far. While I am, as of right now, probably close to at least 700 TP behind Evans, even if he was still with Orange County this season after regression. There's no reason to think I can't put up those same kind of numbers, because while I'm not maxed out in, say, hands, agility, and all that, I'm not at the minimum either. So I should, in my opinion, be able to put up numbers similar to those, but at the same time, compared to every other tight end in the league, I'm just a little baby. I'm probably slow as dirt. So I don't know. Whatever's gonna happen, is gonna happen regardless of what I want to do. So
So what are you looking forward to most about being called up to Orange County next season?
Honestly, it's just playing in the big leagues. I've been watching every Orange County game since I was drafted, so basically this past season. And the offense is like you said, it's nice and balanced. We did have some more success than running the ball than we did passing, but overall it's nice and balanced. But it just being able to contribute to an ISFL team is actually really exciting for me. And while I enjoyed my time in the DSFL, the primary goal down there isn't winning. It's just getting new users acclimated to the league and to have fun. And while having fun is a priority for every ISFL team, winning is also a priority, and it'll be nice to have that mindset from my GMs, is that we're going to do everything we can to win games and win an Ultimus. Whereas in the DSFL, I've noticed while winning is just seen as a nice bonus, you know, and I don't know if that's the way every DSFL GM works, but keep in mind, I've only really been exposed to Norfolk these past couple of seasons, and that's been the mindset simply because I'm pretty sure they won an Ultimini recently or went to one at least. And the following off season, everybody was called up to the ISFL. So literally they had no roster basically whenever they picked me up. They picked me up because that's how I created after the DSFL draft had started for season 28, I'm pretty sure. I was the top option right away, which was weird to me that a team doesn't have a receiver over the starting amount of TPE. You know what I mean? But I didn't realize that everybody had just been called up. So they literally had either a bot or an inactive user already. So for me to come in there and immediately be the top receiving option on the team, it was nice, but at the same time, I thought, you know, this isn't how it normally goes, I think.
Yeah, from what I've seen, you know, most people spend about two seasons down, so you know, it's just kind of given on the situation or the players available, I guess, really influences whether there's a time spent as a backup or just stepping into like an active situation. But like you said, with everybody just getting called up, I know like what I've seen is a lot of what you said. You know, the DSFL, they say, you know, it's not a whole lot about winning. It's, you know, it's about developing good players and good users and getting members used to the league and pointing them in the right direction to help, you know, the league grow and be successful. But I don't know. I just feel like if you're doing that as a GM and you're getting these users acclimated to the league and you're showing them how to earn, and you're helping them do what's necessary to upgrade their player, then I think at the same time, the winning should start to come. If you're able to draft, like say a full draft class and keep them all even semi active and going at the league, then they should be updating their player and your team should theoretically be getting better. Now I know that's a wish there to try to hope that an entire draft class is going to stay active for you in the DSFL, because I haven't seen that happen yet since I've been here. Granted, I've only been here coming on three seasons now, but that doesn't necessarily seem like something that happens very often.
No. And if you hit on every single pick, even in one draft, and they all max and they all hit the cap And you have a full season of one draft class being capped. You are in a much better position than the rest of the teams in the DSFL, in my opinion, because the cap is only 250. You can hit that within a season and a half. And if the ISFL team that drafts your players doesn't have a starting spot for them for an additional season, and you have a third season of those players, you're making the playoffs guaranteed, basically, depending on what positions they're at. So it's if it it's rare to hit on every pick, because even going into the draft, not every prospect is active by the time the draft comes around. So it's impossible to hit on everybody, simply because if you have a hole come, say, the sixth round, like you either you have a hole, or you have like a bot, and somebody had earned some TP but then fell off the face of the earth, they're gonna be more effective than, say, the bot, even if they're inactive. So you're probably gonna take that person.
Yeah, I guess what I was getting at is just if you're able to develop your locker room into active users that are engaged in the league, then the winning should follow that.
Yeah, the winning should follow. But like you said, I haven't seen it either. And I think it's incredibly rare for a team to hit on every single draft pick, especially in the DSFL. In the ISFL, with the way the regression system works, teams already have a good idea of who's active, who's semi-active, and who's not active at all. So it's really the DSFL is pretty much the guinea pig for the ISFL teams for draft purposes, simply because there's a full season whenever somebody gets drafted in the DSFL before they get picked by an ISFL team. So the teams will know pretty much going into it whether or not you're active.
Yeah,
So,
definitely. You can tell just by the TPE advantage there.
yeah. And the PvE, funnily enough, recently switched to a very similar system where you create your player and you get drafted by a minors team. Then you play out the season for the minors team, and then the next season you get picked by a majors team. And that was recent too. It's been almost a year, I'm pretty sure. But it was because there was my draft class season 19 over there, where I got picked by a minors and a majors team in the same season. But then the very next season, for season 20, everybody who created for in time for that draft had a regression season of 21 and was only picked by a minors team. So there was a season where that season 20 draft class, there was only maybe a round and a half of people for the majors teams because of the switch, and there were probably 25 or so players got that were in the bubble of they didn't create before the new system was in place, but they created too late for the draft for season 19. So they didn't have a regression class of season 20, they had a regression class of season 19. So there's already this TPE disadvantage for these players. But because of the new system, head off was just gave them additional late joiner TP, which both leagues do. If you create so far into the season up to the trade deadline, you get a handful of TPE depending on when you created, as kind of a buffer to so you're not so far behind your peers in your draft class, which I think it's actually a really good system, in my opinion, that they do that. because some people could see that there's such a big difference whenever they create and think, oh, well, I'm not going to be as good as any of these people. So there's no point in putting in the effort kind of thing. At least in my opinion, that's the way that helps with newer users who create at, say, an inopportune time, if you will.
Yeah, I seen that this last season with the SHL, doing like a makeup TPE for users that created between, you know, a certain time span.
I think one thing I've noticed that's different between the PB and the ISFL is the preseason, ISFL's training camp TPE and PBE spring training TPE. Spring training for the PBE, everybody gets 5. Okay. ISFL, you get more than that in your first season, I'm pretty sure. DSFL, you get 10. Okay. That's only in your first year though. ISFL, if you just got drafted by an ISFL team, you get 15. Then the following season, you get 10. Like I just got 10 with the season 30 ISFL training camp. You said you're season 29 as well?
Yeah, I'm season 29 with you.
All right. So next season, we're only gonna get 5.
Yeah.
So it lowers, you get less the longer you're in the league, and then you only get 3 seasons of 5 TPE. And then after that, you only get 3. So it's kind of it's a sliding scale. And I just think it's interesting that first and second year players get double and triple and double the TPE respectively compared to when you would be considered a veteran, you know?
That was kind of just explained to me, like when I asked about that when I first joined, I was just kind of told that they tried to mimic, like, if you're a rookie or, you know, a first or second year player, you're going to learn more from a training camp or a mini camp than, say, a 6-year veteran is. You're not going to take as much from that training camp as what that rookie or first year player did.
But I can understand that reasoning. But at the same time, you could also argue for the fact that a 6-year veteran may learn more from training camp than, say, like a 3-year, like somebody who's been in their third season, if they're on a completely different team. Because you have new coaching staff, new system, just like, say, a first or second year player is going to have new coach, new system, things like that. So it's, you can argue both ways.
But I definitely see that.
But in the way, but with the ISFL, it makes sense to do it that way, though, because it we're just trying to mirror a player's growth as a player, say, in the NFL. So, yes, the argument that a rookie and a second-year player is going to learn so much more in training camp than, say, a 5-year or 6-year veteran is definitely true. But, like I said, you could argue the other way as well. But just for simplicity's sake, the system for training camp that the ISFL has makes the most sense. Because, I mean, we're doing this for fun. We don't want to have to do algebra to figure out how much, how many points we're going to get from training camp. So,
yeah. I just created in the PB. Well, I can't say just created because I technically haven't created yet, but I joined the forum for the PBE and I'm going to create a player today. Ahead of the trade deadline, I'm going to ask to not be approved until tomorrow's trade deadline.
That is the opportune time to do it because you can still do your activity checks. You can still get your training, I'm pretty sure. So going into draft time, people that created, say, a week before the draft, you're already going to have more TPE than they are. So you're going to be more valuable. You're going to go higher, et cetera, et cetera. So
hoping it's like other leagues where I can potentially get picked up and play a little bit before next season, but I guess I'll find out how this works.
You can either go into waivers or go into the draft, and if you go into waivers, you'll be picked up by a team, and you'll play out the rest of the season with that team. So, but if I remember correctly, with the DSFL, you can do the same thing. You can enter waivers, but you will still be entered into the DSFL draft that offseason.
Yeah,
you may go to a different team.
Depending on when you create, you get that option of you can decide to become a trade deadline create. So you're basically creating after the trade deadline, and then you have basically you get picked up off of waivers and you'll play the rest of the season, which ends up being it's like the last week of real life time. So mm-hmm. It ends up being like 3 sim games, and then the playoffs, if your team makes the playoffs, and then you go back into the draft pool and you're, you know, up for grabs for the draft.
Yeah. So the difference in the PBE when, if you go into waivers instead of into the minors draft, you stay with that team. You don't go back into the draft pool for the next minors draft. If you go to waivers and you're picked up by a team, that's your team in while you're in the minors, unless they decide to trade you and whatnot. But you're basically playing roulette with whoever. You're playing roulette in the sense that you don't know who's gonna pick you up. So it's kind of almost, it's not the same as like a draft presentation, but unless you know who has the top waivers priority, or if they even have a hole for you to fill, you know what I mean? Like, so you could be picked by someone who has, say, the lowest waiver priority. So if you fill a hole, but every other team has somebody in that spot.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to be a part of the draft class. So,
oh, then you want to tell them you want to be part of the draft.
Yeah, so I'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, but no, that's the big difference, I think, with trade deadline creates for both leagues is with the ISFL, you go into the draft no matter what. So you could say you want to be in the draft, or you can go to waivers. And you're still going to go into the DSFL draft in the offseason. But PBE, whatever team picks you up, you are there. You don't go back into the draft pool.
So going into the draft class, you don't play until after the draft then?
Yeah, if you go in, even as a trade deadline create, if you decide to go into the draft, you don't play, your player is not playing.
Gotcha.
after the trade deadline. But there's also the sense that you're then considered a rookie for the next season. Whereas if you are created at the trade deadline and go to waivers, I don't quote me on this one, because I don't know if it's still done by the awards team or not. But whenever I was in my rookie season in the minor leagues, we had the center fielder who just destroyed everything. And he was second in MVP voting, I'm pretty sure. People in ISFL might know him. It was Ben Stackenpaper. But he did not win Rookie of the Year simply because he was a waiver create at the trade deadline from the last season. So he wasn't a true rookie as it was reasoned to me. Gotcha. Because he had played, keep in mind though that it's more than 3 games in the PBE. In the sim, it's closer to 25 games that you're playing, because baseball is so much longer and so many more games than football. So because he wasn't a true rookie and had played in enough games the season before, he was ineligible for Rookie of the Year, even though he finished second in MVP voting and blew every other rookie out of the water.
Gotcha. Because he played a part of the season.
I felt that was unfair.
So it sounds like the PVE is a little bit different than both the ISFL and the SHL, because the SHL is similar to the way the ISFL does it. I created my player this last season for them at the trade deadline, was then picked up on a team for waivers to finish out the season, just like the ISFL, and then you go back into the draft pool.
Yeah.
In the following class.
Yeah, no, it's
PVE is a little different.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like every sim league is different, other than the sim engine and the sport, because there are little things that each league does that's different, but they're also similar in a lot of ways, like between the PVE and the ISFL, the regression system, and the way the drafts work are very similar. But then you have the way that each league handles trade deadline creates that go to waivers is different. But in that vein, that ISFL and the SHL, they're similar. You play for the team that picks you up on waivers, then you go back into the draft pool, and then you're still considered a rookie for the following season. Correct?
You're kind of just like, I think it's their way of keeping you engaged for creating at that time. They limit what tasks you're allowed to do, so you can't get, you know, a whole bunch of TPE, but
right,
you can get, you know, the basic stuff. And I think it's just kind of a way to keep you engaged and not kind of go IA on the league before you even get drafted.
Right. And it's similar in the PBE, except you can only do certain tasks, and you play the games, but you don't go back into the minors draft pool. And I could honestly, once this is posted, and Josu, if Josu listens to it, she's probably gonna say, "Hey, you're wrong." But which is completely fine. I've been wrong before, but from what I personally remember, from my experiences when I was in the minors, if you are a trade deadline creator that goes to waivers, you are not considered a rookie like everybody who gets drafted.
Yeah. If you don't go back into the draft class, that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if they still do it, but it's also probably easier for the awards team because they don't have to they don't have to calculate if you're a rookie by, say, MLB standards. You know what I mean? Like if you play so many games, then you're not a rookie the next season technically. So it's just, I guess it's just easier to say, hey, if you start playing in the minors as a trade deadline create, we're just not gonna consider you a rookie heading into next season, simply because it's simpler. And that makes sense because, again, we're all just volunteering our time to do this. So
I know getting back to the ISFL a little bit here.
Yeah.
Who is, in your way too early predictions, who's the team to beat for the Ultimas next season?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you, simply because I haven't been following each team's offseason. Just Orange County, and we haven't been doing much, simply because our roster is probably set. Like, other than, say, a free agency signing that would replace somebody who's retiring, that would be the only thing that we would probably be doing right now. Otherwise, we're pretty much set, I do believe. So, if I take a quick peek at... I'm just gonna, what I normally do whenever I do, like, say, my season predictions, I normally look at the TPE tracker. Doesn't matter what league it is, I'll look at the tracker. And because that tells me, for example, who has the players that are in their peak or close to their peak or just entering regression, like that, because that's a 3-season window to where players are supposed to be at their best. So if you have a lot of TPE and you're, like, you say you're first, that tells me that you have more players at their peak than others. So you should be, but you should be a better team. But the sim's gonna sim, so it doesn't. In the end, I've noticed that TP doesn't matter a whole lot. Simply because you could have someone who's 500 TPE just have just as good of a season as someone with, say, 1500. Now that's my experience in the PBE. I haven't been around in the ISFL long enough to see if that's the case with our sim engine here or not. But just a quick glance at the tracker, Fire Salamanders and the Silverbacks, I think I could see them going to the Ultimus again. And it being a rematch.
Yeah, judging off of what you were saying, looking at the TPE tracker, you have Berlin at number one and New York at number three at total TPE.
Yes. And one of those two teams has to go through Sarasota to get there.
Which is the team sitting smack dab in between them.
Mm-hmm. I am still trying to get familiar with the divisions and everything. So I can't name conferences just off of team names right now. But I know somebody has to beat Sarasota. One of those two has to beat Sarasota. But I really can see them, both teams, going back to the Ultimus. Because both teams, this is different from the PBE TPE tracker, because you have offensive and defensive TPE separated. So I like that. But both teams, in theory, have a good defense. And the offense isn't as good, which is true for a lot of teams, simply because every position for the defense matters. Whereas you can get away with having bots on the offensive line, I feel.
It seems like that's the approach in the DSFL, but it seems like in the ISFL it's a little more seems like they pursue active players at the offensive line position a little more than the DSFL.
Which I believe is the way to go. But if you don't have a full player offensive line, you have the option to purchase bots for your offensive. You can have the option to purchase bots. And honestly, depending on the build, a 500 TPE bot can be just as effective as, say, an 800 TPE active player. But the thing that separates those bots from that player is the player can purchase traits. Whereas with the bot, you kind of need all the TPE to bring the attributes up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's I guess I haven't thought about that difference there with the traits to the
So I think you to max out an offensive lineman's build, you really only need to focus on strength and blocking. I believe, I could be wrong, so I don't know offensive lineman builds, and intelligence if you don't want to commit penalties. So for, say, a 500 TP bot, you're probably going to need 450 to all 500 TPE to max those out to where the bot is effective. But then an active player who earns more TPE than say the bot can purchase a trait to make them even more effective. But by purchasing the bot is the way to go if you don't have an active player to for that hole. So that would explain somewhat of the lower offensive TPE if a team is going the bot direction, because your players who have 1,000 TPE plus are going to be your skill positions. And I'm a firm believer in that the offensive line is the most important group on the field, on the offense, because if they can't block, your quarterback can't do anything, which then turns into your skill players can't do anything. So everything starts with the offensive line. But the way the sim engine works, you can get away with bots on the offensive line. But as a result, your offensive TPE is going to be lower than your defense. Sometimes by a pretty big margin, as you can see with Sarasota, if you're looking at the tracker, their defense has 5,000 more TPE than their offense. I don't know their offensive line situation, but I'm just going to assume they have a bot here and there on the line. But I can guarantee you every defensive position is taken up by a player. So that means that, you know, there's more TPE on the defense. That stands to reason that there's more TPE on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, when you look at even just the top three teams on the TPE tracker, while we're discussing it, all the top three teams are basically in the same situation. Defensively, they're over 10,000 TPE, and offensively, they're under 6,500.
The outlier there in that scenario is Arizona. There's only a 2,000 TPE, a 2,500 TPE difference between the two. And then you have the Yeti, who has a monster defense compared to the rest of the league, but their offense is middling. You know what I mean? Colorado can they probably could do some damage on offense, but you're going to be hard pressed to do anything on offense yourself, since they have the highest defensive TPE in the league.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, even with that lack of offense there, you're talking about one of the most active quarterbacks and active wide receivers in the ISFL with Mattathias Caliban and William Lim for Colorado. So even with that low TPE on the tracker side of things, they're still putting up ridiculous numbers.
Right, and the tracker doesn't tell the full story of every team, but if you're like me and you're not familiar with every team and all the players on each team, the tracker is a way to gauge potentially how well they could be doing. But again, the sim's going to sim. For example, I'm pretty sure Austin last season, everybody thought they were going to be really good, from what I understand, during the preseason season predictions and fantasy wise. They went 5-10-1. Like, they did not perform to expectations at all.
No, yeah, they were definitely one of the biggest surprises, I think, for most people last season.
Right. And even then the offense still did good things. It's just, I feel like the defense let them down. Because they were in the bottom half of the conference in points allowed, but they were also in the bottom half for points scored. But that the season 29 offense, I just updated their season records in the wiki, so I know this. But Videlson is, I think, top three for Austin season records in receiving, if not the top. But they had a 1,500-yard receiving season. And Jackie Daytona, the quarterback, also broke into the top five of passing yards with the season 29 total. So the offense did good things, but they were let down in other areas. I didn't watch the Copperheads games, so I don't know where the breakdowns were, but compared to their TPE level, they severely underperformed.
Yeah, that's like I said, I think that was pretty much a shock for everybody last season.
Yeah.
They ended up on some bad end of some very close games as well. Where they should have scored and didn't, which could have won them the game at the end, or shootouts with teams they shouldn't have been in shootouts with, where just the end of the game didn't go their way. Yeah. I think when people always talk about sim luck, I think that was a team that was definitely cursed with some bad sim luck last season.
Yeah. Norfolk this past season was the same way. The lowest or second lowest TPE level, but enough of our games were close enough that if we scored one more time, we would have had a much better record. So, and there were times where we would punt the ball from the 35-yard line. Or the 30-yard line, and that made no sense to me. Because our kicker can make those field goals, but for whatever reason, the sim said no. We're just gonna punt. So,
yeah, it's definitely some questionable decisions sometimes on the sim's end.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just because we're simming it and not actually playing the games. That's going to happen. The AI is going to do some dumb things no matter what sim engine you're using, because it's not perfect. But there are some that's better than others. And it just boggles my mind, because I don't know of any team that's going to punt from the 30-yard line. They're going to kick the field goal.
Yeah, most every team.
Because 99 times out of 100, it's going to be a touchback. And you're only getting another 10-yard cushion for your defense. In the grand scheme of things, 10 yards isn't that much. Especially if the offense is a powerhouse and your defense isn't. You're not going to stop them a whole lot, no matter if it's an additional 10 yards or not. So it just frustrated me whenever the sim did that for us, when we could have made the field goal, and then we could have pinned that. Because I noticed with a lot of the DSFL games, a lot of kickoffs weren't touchbacks, and a lot of returns weren't that long, so people weren't hitting the 25-yard line a lot. But even if we miss the field goal, say from the 30-yard line, the offense is only going to the 35. They're only taking over at the 35. So there's not a whole lot of, I don't know. You're not doing yourself any favors by punting the ball and having the offense take over their 20 versus their 35. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like I said, there's some questionable calls you see that get made on the sim.
Sim gonna sim. That's my favorite saying.
So normally this is where I would ask if there's anything you wanted to discuss or any questions you had for me, but I know that you had some podcast questions that were given to you by some other users that you wanted to touch on a little bit here.
Yeah. So I
know the first question you had here was from Negs, and that was, what position do you think is underrated in terms of fun in the sim?
Offensive line. Like I said, your offense is not doing anything without a good offensive line. So if you earn, say, 800 TPE, you're going to be better and cheaper for the team in the, as far as budget goes, compared to a 750 TPE bot. So you're contributing not only on the field, but you're also helping your GMs by costing less than a bot. So they can then field a better team because they can afford to pay a free agent quarterback more money to come in and help you win. And to me, that is more fun than being a receiver that puts up, say, a 2,000-yard receiving season because your offensive line isn't doing anything and your max speed quarterback is having to scramble for their life, but you still get open. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, to me, being able to help a team create a balanced offense by being cheaper and more effective than a bot is more fun to me.
So the next question, I know we've touched on this a lot throughout this podcast, but Memento Mori asks, what is the best and worst things about the ISFL compared with your other sim leagues?
So I'm in the PBE as well as the I always get the acronym messed up. The Super Casual Football Sim League. Okay, they
SCSFL.
Yes, I always get the acronym messed up for whatever reason. I'm a quarterback over there, and my God, people think that Draft Day Sports is can be a bad sim engine. You need to watch some of my games in the Axis Football Sim Engine. Wow, it is horrible. So we lost a game. I remember this vividly. I can't remember what game it was. I can't remember if it was the Casual Bowl, which is their Ultimus, or their Ultim Mini. I remember this vividly. We were either in the red zone, we were far away. I threw a ball to my tight end. He was faster than the entire defense, and he had a blocker in front of him to get the one guy standing between him and the end zone, and they were close to the sideline. Instead of waiting for his blocker, who was about to hit the guy and keep that lane open, he runs out of bounds with no time on the clock. So we lose by 1 point or less than a score because he ran out of bounds instead of going straight, which boggled my mind. I can
see how that could be frustrating.
I raised hell in the locker room for that one. It really irritated me. But things like that happen all the time in the Axis Sim Engine. So Draft Day Sports, in my opinion, becomes a much better engine simply for that. But at the same time, Draft Day Sports Football is worse than out-of-the-park baseball that PBE uses. There's so much more depth that you could in OOTP than Draft Day Sports as of right now. I believe that Wolverine Studios can make Draft Day Sports a much deeper engine, and while it is deep, but you can do a lot with it, there's so much more you can do with OOTP.
Looking forward to checking that part out.
Yeah, I have I have the sim engine we use, OOTP 21 in PBE, but I also have OOTP 22, and even those two engines, there's a big difference. And even though OOTP is a yearly release, it is so different year to year. Now with the ISFL, I'm pretty sure, up until recently, we were using Draft Day Sports Pro Football 16, which I believe is the engine from when the league started, correct?
It was 16. I'm not sure if that's the one they started with or not.
Because, well, if I remember correct, if I remember, the league started up around in 2016 or 2017. So, just process of elimination, it's either the one that we used at the start or upgraded shortly after the start. And then we go to 21, however many seasons ago. If you're that's a 5 or 6 year gap between versions of the game when it's a yearly release.
Yeah.
It is, I guarantee you, it is so much different. And people probably still haven't figured out the ins and outs of Pro Football 21 from Wolverine Studios. I can guarantee you, if we were still running on 16, every position, the GM would say, okay, if you are this archetype, this is the build you want, because if you do certain actions, reduces your effectiveness by this percentage. I know that's a thing because I read an article back in season 24 or so. Someone broke it down that you lost effectiveness as a safety. You got slower by this percentage every time you sacked the quarterback. I don't know if it applies to the version we're on now, but people also didn't have 5 years, 4 or 5 years to dig that deep into this engine yet. We'll get there, but we haven't been using it long enough for that to happen.
So I know I have a couple more questions for you before we wrap up. I know there's a few more from your podcast list here, but we'll let you save the rest of those for your next release as we're pushing a little long on this interview here.
Yeah.
But I have a few questions that I like to wrap up with just to kind of get to know you as a user.
Mm-hmm.
What is your all-time favorite sport?
It's a toss-up between baseball and football. I was introduced to football much younger when I was introduced to baseball. I leaned football a little bit more, but because the baseball season is longer, I can enjoy it more. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Because watching 16 games, going to be 17 with this coming season in the NFL, but I can watch 152 games of baseball versus 16 of football if my team doesn't make the playoffs. So that's 10 times the games that I can watch my favorite players play.
Well, not to mention it's not just one time a week either.
No. No,
you're not sitting around waiting for Sunday to come around. You're, you know, every other day or every, you know, 2 days.
Right. And you know, sometimes you can watch two in one day. Yeah, sometimes you can watch a doubleheader in baseball. So you can watch 14 innings of say Shohei Ohtani lighting the opposing batters up and then just raking with the bat in the same game. I mean, he's not going to go all 14 innings, but you know what I mean? Like you can do that multiple times a week versus you're only watching, say, Juju Smith-Schuster, who failed as a wide receiver this past season without Antonio Brown. But a couple seasons ago, he had a better season than Antonio Brown, in my opinion, simply because he had more yards while Brown had more touchdowns. Juju was open so much more and he couldn't be stopped, basically. And while that's fun to watch, I'm going to get 30 games of Ohtani hitting and pitching, potentially, but I'm only going to get half that watching Juju watch Juju on the gridiron. You know what I mean? So baseball has that advantage, but football will always be my first love, I think, as far as sports go.
So who are your favorite teams?
For the MLB, it would be the Angels. And then I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, as far as the NFL goes.
A little bit with the Juju Antonio Brown reference, but I didn't want to assume.
No. It's funny. As crazy as Antonio Brown is in life, he is a fantastic football player. And while I hate Tom Brady with a passion, it was fun to watch him throw passes to Antonio Brown in the playoffs.
Oh yeah, it's always fun when you get to see a top level quarterback team with a talented wide receiver.
With arguably the number one receiver in the game at that point, even though he'd taken a full season off because he's a lunatic.
I'm not sure your age bracket, but just similar to the Brady and Moss a few years prior to that.
Okay, so the greatest modern receiver that is currently playing, okay, currently active. Now, people are probably going to yell at me, no, there's DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones and ish, but I'm biased, okay? I had a number of seasons watching Antonio Brown just light the league up with Ben Roethlisberger. All right, I'm biased. I will be the first to admit it. That was really fun to watch for those seasons. It's a shame that Brown didn't win his first ring until he played with Tom Brady. Like, I feel like that's criminal. But it took that long for him to get a ring because some part of the Steelers offense or the Steelers defense let him down his entire career with the Steelers. So, but it is what it is.
So the last question I have for you, and that kind of leads into it, is what would you consider to be your all-time greatest sports memory or best sports moment that you've gotten to witness?
Real-life sports? We're talking about real-life sports, right?
Yeah, talk about real-life sports.
Both times that the New York Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. The helmet catch was great. I actually watched that one live. And I can't remember if it was the first or second time, but it was fantastic. It was great to watch Eli Manning be Tom Brady's dad for those two games.
That's great. So, you're head on. I appreciate you taking time out of your night and coming on doing this interview.
No, thank you for taking the time. We'll have to do it again soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing what you can do next season in Oco, and you just stay over there in your division. I'll stay over in my division, and we don't have to cross paths too many times.
Who knows? Maybe. What team are you on?
I'm part of the Philadelphia Liberty. Well, I will be. I'm getting called up this season, so I'll be taking this out for the first time this season, just like you.
All right. So maybe both our teams will surprise everybody and we'll make it to the Ultimates. Then all bets are off the table, you know.
Well, you're a tight end and I'm a defensive end, so we would definitely see each other on the field at some point.
Pancakes all day.
Right on. Have a good one, man. Thank you.
You too.
That's it, guys. That's the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. And as always, I appreciate anyone who's taken the time to listen. Special thanks to Haseo for coming on. And if you enjoyed the show, rate, follow, review, and join our world.